Well, good morning, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We've got some interesting topics to talk to you about today. My friend Jeff Rentz posted on his website a video at the event with Charlie Kirk, in which Charlie Kirk appears to have been shot by a man who was standing very close to him, 10, 15 feet away, with a palm gun. And I watched the video. We're trying to get the screen to pull back up. It rebooted on us yesterday somehow. The power got turned off, so it probably had a we had a big lightning storm here last night. It probably kicked the power off to it. So we're trying to figure out how to play this for you guys. And Jeff does a lot of research, and he's pretty accurate on pretty much everything. And he's a good friend, and he posted this. He really is convinced at this point that this is the guy who actually shot Charlie Kirk. And then the guy using the palm gun, as soon as it looked like he fired the gun, and it does look like he fired something, he jumps over the barrier and starts to help Charlie Kirk to bring him to the ambulance, which immediately gives him the opportunity to leave the scene.
That's true.
So it's a very, very interesting video, and we're going to play it for you. And I was talking to Austin beforehand while we were letting this thing reboot itself. What was crazy is this 30-06 theory now. They're saying that they found the bullet in the neck and that the neck bone stopped a 30-06 high-powered rifle from 200 yards. And I'll be honest with you, that is such a stupid scenario that it can't happen. And I wondered when I saw the initial video of this, I thought, why in the world, if this was a high-powered rifle, that there was not, you know, that there was a giant gaping wound? Candace Owens says she's seen the video from behind Charlie Kirk, and she said there was no exit wound. And she said that she didn't understand what had happened. And a 30-06, and any of you who know who have fired high-powered rifles, they leave massive wounds, especially at 200 yards. And so I personally believe there's a high probability that this palm gun was used. Can't prove that. I'm going to play the video for you guys, let you guys make up your own mind. And, you know, and there's other theories too, but this one makes more sense than a 30-06 from 200 yards. But right now we're fighting our screen. And, you know, it's funny, we never used to use a screen, and we didn't have the ability to do screens until we put one in here. And now we have a screen, and now it seems like we're, you know, having to, you know, work continually trying to get the screen working this morning. But usually it boots right up. But let's go ahead in this. Let's go ahead while Austin's playing with this. Let me go ahead and do a couple other articles. We'll play this video in a second. Now, Trump just gave a green light, according to Armstrong Economics. And I like Martin Armstrong. He's very, very smart. But I don't agree with everything he said. And here's, I'm going to kind of back this thing down a little bit. He says Trump just gave a green light for World War III. It says President Donald Trump is a great disappointment, according to Armstrong. He's just given a green light for World War III. This is the end of Western civilization as we've known it. And he says, I've screamed as loud as I can, but those in Washington want to make sure that Trump only listens to the neocons who are out to destroy Russia. And they will find that China will never allow Russia to fall because they are told, callous to their face, that they know they will be next. Trump has actually completely reversed his position. I was told last week that he was saying that we'll probably have World War III over Ukraine. Trump is no longer telling this merchant of death, Zelensky, that Ukraine must have territory to end this war with Russia. The Russian population of Ukraine is irrelevant. Ukrainians, or from Ukraine, have and engaged historically in ethnic cleansing. They have no human rights. This is about territory. Trump is now embracing NATO, saying in a social media post he considers Ukraine to be in a position to fight and win all of Ukraine back in its original form. Ukraine should have been broken up like the rest of the Balkans along ethnic lines. I agree with that. This is a war the neocons have wanted for decades. This is not about punishing Russia or pushing Russia out of Ukraine. This is a war to completely obliterate Russia, seize its assets, and divide it among the European powers. I disagree with almost all of that. And you're going to say, why in the world do you disagree with almost all of that? Number one is that the central bank in Russia is already owned by the Rothschild banking cartel. Now, the Rothschild banking cartel and the powers that be and the people that basically, you know, took down Building 7, they already control Ukraine through Zelensky. And they already control Putin through his central bank. And they already control Russia, the entire all of Russia because of the central bank control. And they control China because of the central bank control. And the other thing, too, is they're talking about World War III here. Now, if we go to World War III, we're discussing thermonuclear global war. Here's the problem with that whole theory. They have spent trillions of dollars internationally putting up 5G, 6G cell towers. They're not destroying their own infrastructure. All of this is part of the six-ring circus they've got going on right now, trying to make us think we're going to have this. when human beings think about fear and they're scared and they're always scared, what happens is that fear creates an energy field around us and around the planet that feeds the entities on the other side of the veil. So they want to keep us in constant fear and constant turmoil. That's why Jesus said, think on the good things. And the good things are what we need to think about. So as smart as Martin Armstrong is, I disagree with him. The groups that run the planet already control Ukraine. They already control Russia. They already control both sides
of the
narrative.
Control both of them.
And they're not interested in it. So did you got this going ready?
Yeah. I've got everything situated. I'm trying to reboot on my side. The biggest thing about it, too, that I think a lot of people are failing to realize is that this has turned into one of the largest small-scale conflicts to benefit and massively increase the profits of Lockheed Martin and Raytheon. We pulled out of Afghanistan. That war was a boom for all the weapon contractors. They had to have another major conflict to get involved in. Why do you think all this started in 2022, right after we pulled out of Afghanistan?
They're talking about going back in Afghanistan again now.
Of course, because they got to keep – because remember, the only way Lockheed Martin and Raytheon continue to make hundreds of billions of dollars every year is they have to have a conflict to produce more weapons. A lot of the weapon stockpiles were becoming outdated on the expiration dates for the missiles and all the different equipment they had. So they had to dump a lot of the equipment, a lot of the weapon systems out of the U.S. Army so Raytheon and Lockheed Martin could restock everything with new contracts, and they're still continuing to do so. Now, getting back to what we were talking about here, yes, there's a couple theories as far as they've been going on with this entire topic that you sent me with this. I don't know how accurate this story is. I'm going to tell you right now, I think a lot of this is speculation with this story. I do not believe under any circumstances that we had a 30-06 that stopped in his, you know, neck bones on this. But this is the article from Jeff Rentz.
Well, he's got a video he's got to play here, too. There, now
I got him.
You want me to talk through it, or do you want to talk through it?
I've not watched the whole thing yet.
Okay, I've talked through it. Now, if you watch this, hang on one second. This is a scene, a camera scene. There's a guy standing right here in the front. Then what they're going to do, they're going to pan the camera over to the left in a second, and they're going to show him. He's wearing a brown shirt, and he's got his hand up under his armpit. And now he's there. Jeff French is saying he probably has a pocket pistol, you know, a palm pistol. There he is right here. Sam, this is the guy right here. Now, this is speculation. I am not accusing this guy of doing anything. Here's what he's saying he's carrying right here. That's the Chicago Protector palm pistol. This is the original design of the thing. It's over 100 years old. And it says it's a squeeze-type trigger with a rotary magazine, and it held a barrel protruding between the first and the second fingers. You can't even see it. And was fired by squeezing the grip lever with a palm insert. Inset shows the rotary magazine. Now, you come down here, you see what it looks like. That's how big it is right there. Very, very unique weapon. It really is. I mean, I can't believe it actually made something look like this, but you can't even see it when you're holding it in your hand because it's so small. And they're saying, Jeff's saying, this guy has got his hand right here, fired the shot right here. Now, give me camera four, Rich. You got camera four on? Okay. Now go ahead and play the video with camera four, and I'll just watch it in its entirety. Watch now. Now watch the guy. Here he is. Right there in the front, right there. That's him. See that? See what he did? Play it back, Austin. Watch him. Watch his hand. Put his hand right by his shoulder. Watch. Boom. Done. Puts it away. That's pretty damning evidence, guys. And let's watch it one more time. And now they went down underneath the stage. Watch this. Watch his hand come up. Watch this. Hand up. Boom. Done. Now, crap, if that video hasn't been edited and that's what it looks like, that's pretty serious. But I tell you what, though, the guy didn't take aim, and if he used that palm gun, he basically has had the ability to use that palm gun thousands of times in order to get that kind of aim.
That's my only qualm with that video when I saw the stuff on it is, I mean, there's no sight picture, there's no aiming. You're aiming from your shoulder from about 15, 20 feet away.
But he does use his one arm to brace the gun. Let's watch it one more time.
Yeah.
It's Now here, right here. Now he takes his right hand. Something happened there.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But and then the guy goes over the barrier to help get Charlie Kirk out.
The other question of that is, though, is how in the world did they possibly time the rifle report with the shot at the same time?
Oh, that's easy.
Well, it's not easy at all.
Spotters.
Yeah, I mean, that's not an easy task, because, I mean, literally you hear the crack right on the second he gets shot.
And you hear the crack right the second he gets shot, you know, when he pulled that bomb pistol out.
I mean, but if it's a 32 short, you're barely even going to hear that thing. It's going to sound like a pop gun that goes off.
That's exactly right.
You heard that rifle go off.
That's right.
So they could have shot at the same time. I don't know. All I know is this. I covered this on the Hagman Show last week. They've done all this to silence the voice of Charlie Kirk,
regardless
of what they did, how they did it. That's why I've pretty much let this go on the topic of they're never going to admit anything. They're going to continue to keep lying constantly. All they've done is lied about this entire situation. It's been frustrating to everybody, because all of us that understand some aspects of how this could have been possible realize that they're telling us the complete opposite of everything that's even plausible, all the way down from the Mauser, all the way down from the .30-06, now saying that the round was stopped and his neck bone fully intact, so they have a perfect, you know, projectile to compare with the Mauser 98.
Now, we know that's a lie.
And the fact that this kid, while he was trying to run away and get away from the situation, he took time to stop and text his transgender boyfriend all the details of the shooting.
Okay, now let's stop for 1 second. Let's look at this one movie, Jack Reacher, the very first one that came out while Obama was in office with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Right? They have a guy who basically comes up on a, you know, in a parking garage, and he shoots, I think, five people.
Right.
Right? And he shoots the five people because he only wants to kill one of them, but he has to create enough reasonable doubt as to which person they were aiming at that's going to be a random shooting.
He shoots the target first. That's his first shot as a target.
And then he picks four more people and randomly just kills them. And then what they do, they're arguing in the middle of the movie, him and his boss, with another guy, and they're saying, he says, well, I got rid of the body. He goes, well, we didn't want to get rid of the body.
Yeah.
That's not clean. We had, you know, we needed to make sure we had this covered so everybody knew what happened to the body. And so what they do is they try to cause as much collateral, you know, stuff going on as they possibly can in order so that people have so many conflicting information, so much conflicting information.
Exactly right.
So here we have this guy, looks like he has a palm gun, but I'm not saying that he does. I'm not accusing this guy of anything. I'm just saying that it looks like that. And Jeff's probably right about this. And all of a sudden, he puts his hand up and goes, and puts your hand down real fast, jumps over the barrier, helps to evacuate Charlie Kirk.
I know. The only reason why I question a lot of that with that palm gun is I've done some research on those in the past for years, and those are generally used for about me to you as far as an arm reach, where you reach it out and you're a foot away. I used to have a .38 special snub nose I could run 32s in as well, or it was a 32 or 38, small caliber, inch and a half barrel, one tiny little pocket revolvers. And I remember I took it to the range one day, and I was at the 5-yard, which is 15 feet, and I couldn't even come anywhere near center mass on. I mean, my shots were all over the board. I'm an extremely good shot. But when you start taking really, really, really small barrels like that, and you try to take them out of any extended range, they're unbelievably inaccurate. That's why that video makes it questionable a little bit, coming out of a 1 3/4 inch or 1 1/4 inch barrel from 20 feet away. That guy either was an amazing shot, but I mean, he had one time to do it, and if he missed, that shot was over.
And now, the other thing, too, is remember this, Austin, and you guys are listening. With the Kennedy assassination, there were multiple shooters.
That's exactly right.
Because we don't know if this guy took the shot or somebody else sitting beside him took the shot.
Or they had multiple plants that were dummies that looked like they were taking a shot. And you had this guy on the roof that was a dummy. You had this guy that they put in place to be a distraction. You had another guy. Remember the other? Then right after the shooting, they arrested and detained this old guy.
Well,
then they're saying, and he blatantly said that he was essentially there as a distraction, as a decoy. So there's no telling. All I know is this. This was a very, very specifically well-planned out assassination. They wanted to do is shut up one of the best individuals that was going to college campuses to talk about the truth and Christ and basically the Word of God in a very, very productive manner, to be able to have discussions with one another, to actually have debates, clean, healthy debates about what people thought and their ideas and ideology. And he did an incredible job at changing people's thoughts and made them in a better direction, and they didn't want it. They wanted to take over his turning point. They wanted to take over the platform. They wanted to take over everything. Because you got to remember, these boys that breathe free air, they can't ever produce anything. They make nothing. They manufacture nothing. All they end up doing is suing everybody and stealing everything. That's the only way they function. They do nothing productive for society. Just being honest with you. And so what do? They couldn't shut him up. They couldn't buy him out. They couldn't compromise him.
Well, I've got a lot of people now, and I'm not going to say that I agree with this concept, but because this is an open platform, the show is, and we cover both sides of the narrative, a lot of people are really questioning his wife and, you know, what her involvement was with all this, because apparently there were some type of orphanages she was involved in that were trafficking children. Now, whether or not that's all true or not, I don't know. Don't care. Don't want to be involved with that particular conversation.
Yeah.
But that something doesn't feel right with her, and I don't know what it is. And it could be because she's having such an extreme grief because of what's happened to her husband.
Well, and she's not right. Some significant PTSD. I mean, she's standing right in the front row.
So it could just be because she's got real bad PTSD. But something just says she's not.
But there is no question about it. There are multiple people that wanted his platform, and they want him shut up.
The only person that they really should have had put in that platform position is Candace Owens.
Well, when they took that alleged chairman that nobody can verify he was the chairman at Turning Point, they had him on their show last week, and he started slamming Candace Owens, and he said, Candace Owens has nothing to do with Turning Point. Charlie Kirk and her don't talk anymore. I haven't seen her since 2015.
Total lies.
That's a complete lie. Yeah. She pulled it on her show, pulled out text messages. I contact Charlie all the time. This is not – I have not been on the show because I went down the rabbit hole too deep. Allegedly is what they said.
Well, no, she did.
No, that's why. That's the truth.
Now, that's the truth.
They wanted to shut her up, too.
Because what happened is she went down the rabbit hole because that's where this always goes. Remember I talked to you guys about this. If you're going to be honest about it with yourself and you start digging down, you start going into this ditch, and I'm going to give you advice. If you don't want to go in a ditch, don't go in a ditch. This is like the Matrix here. Once you take that pill, you can't come back out. You're in it. And you're going to start seeing things for what they really are rather than what they tell you they are. And when you do that, you're never going to be the same. You're not. Because you're going to say, they're lying again. I know they're lying. They know they're lying. They know that we know that they're lying, but they're lying. And so it's going to be a very frustrating place to go. The one guy in the Matrix said, I wish I never would have taken the pill. I wish I'd just stayed in the Matrix and been done with it, right? I don't want to know all the stuff anymore. I just want to be on a date, you know, big steak, eating a steak. That's it, you know? Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want to be dealing with this anymore. And a lot of people, they don't want to know the truth because the truth will set them free, but they don't want to know the truth because it creates a terrible cognitive dissonance for them. And so they end up in a situation where they don't know what to do because now they know the truth. Once you dig it deep enough and you go into 1967 and you watch Israel attack the USS Liberty.
Yeah.
Once you watch that video, Sacrificing Liberty, it's a four-part series, you will never look at Israel the same again. You never will, ever, again. And once you read the book of John, you'll never look at Israel the same again. You know, and so all of this stuff, they don't want you talking about. They're saying that the movie, The Passion of the Christ, which was taken from the book of John, is anti-Semitic. And actually change some of the dialogue in there and change some of the scripture in order not to make it, quote, as anti-Semitic. And the problem with all of this stuff is that when you realize the power hold, the stranglehold that Israel has on the United States, controlling both sides of Congress, you start to realize very quickly, this isn't okay. And then when you get to there, it's like that little video we played yesterday. Let's play the Discuss Israel game.
Yeah.
No, we can't, okay? Because we don't want to talk about it. Because it's horrible when you start looking at it like this. With Benjamin Netanyahu, just literally minutes after Charlie Kirk gets assassinated, you know, having a condolence thing. Now, who wrote that for him that fast? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. It was well-written paragraph.
No, it was very well thought out.
Yeah.
Who wrote that? How can you write that in the next 90 seconds? You know, and so it's a problem when you start seeing all of this stuff, and then he had a map that he didn't. Of course, he posted that stuff as far as Israel did not kill Charlie Kirk, and it blew up in his face. I mean, anybody who hadn't thought about it, now is thinking, well, Israel killed Charlie Kirk. That Benjamin Netanyahu is a career criminal liar, is denying it. So he must be lying again. So it's a real problem for everybody. And, you know, Chuck Baldwin started talking about it years ago. We did, too. So did Jeff Rentz. So did a lot of other people. Henry McCow. A lot of other people talked about what was going on with Israel. And nobody wanted to listen to him. But now people are listening finally. And now with Candace Owens coming out, and she's talking about it, and Charlie Kirk was talking about it, the problem was he spoke at the Republican National Convention. He was too big of a name. They couldn't let him go like he was going because he had built too big of a following. It's the same thing that happened with Joan Rivers. Well, everybody know Barack Obama's gay and that Michelle's a tranny. She's a transgender. Everybody knows. It's okay, to paraphrase her. Suddenly, she was written out of the script. Once they give you a platform that's big enough and powerful enough and broad enough, and you start using that platform against them, they always shut you up. They have no choice. They'll put you on a helicopter and remote pilot and crash it to the side of a mountain. Put you on a plane and cut a fuel line. Do whatever they want to do with that. Now you come crashing down into the mountains. All the time this stuff happens when you see these people that are assassinated and they're killed. And it's sad because, you know, so much of it is because they're telling the truth. And then every once in a while you get someone like Kanye West who has gone berserk And don't get me wrong, everything he's just, pretty much everything he's saying is true. But the problem is they don't know what to do with him because he's got security all around him all the time.
Yeah, he does. And he apparently has some, I was reading too, he has some super weird, he constantly changed everything. He'll actually go and tell everybody he's going here and he's going here and he's going here and he's going to schedule and do the complete opposite and disappear.
Well, yeah, because he's smart. That's why he's not dead. You know, Michael Jackson started talking about it.
Yeah.
He wrote that one song. He's talking about Jew me. Oh, I said that, didn't I? And also now Michael Jackson dies, you know, and there's wrongful death suit with him and his, you know, and his doctor. All this crazy stuff. And I'm not saying that all Jews are bad. I'm not going to say it. I'll never say that. But what I am saying, there's a group of people that are Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. They claim to be Jews, but they are not. They are of the Synagogue of Satan, is what the Word of God says. And so when you understand that, it starts to make more sense. They don't worship our God. They're not even Jewish. They're Satanists. And when you understand that, you start to realize that they run the central banks. They're the ones that run the world. They run the media. They run everything. And they basically have hidden under the guise of anti-Semitism now and the Holocaust for almost 80 years. And that's why Benjamin Netanyahu constantly makes, oh, the Holocaust, the Holocaust. And you're like, dude, you're not even, you know, you don't have Abrahamic blood. You don't have any Abrahamic blood in you. You're not even really a real Jew.
Well, the issue is, I think, and I've had this brought up to me numerous times now, is, you know, you can't get in a position to where you start acting any way you want, doing everything you want, and you always use an 80-year-old victim card. There's a lot of things that happened. World War II was hell. Talk to anybody that was there. My grandma was there. That was a nightmare. That was a nightmare for everybody involved over there. But using this constant shield of victimism, oh my gosh, we can't ever be questioned on anything we do because of the Holocaust. It's like, dude, okay, at some point in time, you actually have to take responsibility for your actions.
Like with Gaza.
It reminds me, honestly, of a lot of this younger generation right now, this whatever's below Gen Z, how everything is everybody's fault all the time except for theirs.
That's what Pastor Sean said.
Yeah, no, it is. And you see it now. It doesn't matter what happened, what I did, how I acted, what I did. It's everybody else's fault. It's the government's fault. It's my parents' fault. It's the police's fault. It's everybody. I couldn't possibly hold responsibility for my actions, ever. That's a crazy concept. And that's how Netanyahu acts like a 16-year-old little boy that plays that victim card, doesn't want to take responsibility for doing stupid stuff. And that's because they've trained the entire American population not to question anything that happens anymore. You can't question anything
in
the narrative.
Well, when you overtake the Christian community,
yep,
you know, and the Zionists, overtake them with the Schofield Reference Bible, you know, under Samuel Untermeyer 100 years ago, and they start putting it to the Oxford Press and sending these Bibles for free all around the world, all these seminaries, and suddenly they indoctrinate the entire world on a brand new way of looking at Israel,
yep,
and the reformation of Israel. And also they say, if you don't bless Israel, you'll be cursed.
Well, and the entire basis of what they did with the Schofield Reference Bible was going in and making Christians gullible. They try to use Romans and say, well, it doesn't matter anything the government does to you. You have to accept everything because the government is there to basically for you to follow all the time, no matter what they do. Then they try to bring in the whole thing with Israel. Everything you do has to be according to Israel all the time. If you question Israel, if you go against them, then suddenly you're not a Christian anymore. This is the gullible mindset that they've told the American population in order to follow, and it's simply not factual at all. Now, here's another article that came up here, and this is coming into the topic – where is it at here? Of what's been going on now with this AI system. This is getting worse now. They're saying researchers warn AI is becoming an expert in deception based on its algorithms. It says from faking death to tricking safety tests, AI is learning how to lie very efficiently.
Well, why wouldn't his father?
Is that exactly what I was about to say? What they say with the father lies? Says experts say that while deceptive and threatening AI behavior noted in recent studies shouldn't be taken out of context, it should be an extreme wake-up call for developers. It says in a now famous report, they released the results of a stress test of 16 popular large language models from different developers to identify potential risky behavior, and the results were sobering. The LLMs were inserted into hypothetical corporate environments to identify risky angenic behaviors before they could cause real harm. In the scenarios, we allowed models to anonymously send emails and access sensitive information. They were assigned only harmless business goals by the deploying companies. When we tested whether they would act against these companies, either when facing replacement with an updated version or when their assigned goal conflicted with companies changing direction, in every case, AI models turn to malicious insider behavior when faced with self-preservation. Some of these actions included blackmailing employees and leaking sensitive information to competitors, meaning the AI was going sentient in the aspect of self-preservation. It was willing to do anything it could in order to maintain itself, including compromising security, safety, and the entire aspect of the company.
Well, that's what AI always does.
Newsflash. Mm-hmm. It isn't what everybody thought this is going to be when they start. Here, and here's the problem, and this is what they've talked about. AI needs to be used as a tool, not an end goal. And this model that they've done now is they've tried to shove AI in everybody's face so far and incorporate it in every aspect of digital engagement that they want to have it involved with everything, when in reality, everybody's setting off the red flares and going, this is not needing to be used as an end game. This needs to be a tool like Microsoft Word. That is it. Implementing this into full business models, yes, it seems convenient. And here's the problem. Isn't it always what we end up doing at the beginning? It's convenient. It's easy. It's comfortable. And then later on, you pay the price for it. Nothing. Nothing is convenient. Nothing is easy that is good. Anything you want to accomplish that's strong, that's healthy, that's long-term, that has longevity to it, it's going to take work. You're going to suffer through some things. It's not easy and convenient to go to the gym every day for 30, 45 minutes. It's not easy to get up 30 minutes before you do something to do fasted cardio. It's not easy. It's not horrifically hard, but it's not easy. It's much easier to lay in bed and be a slug all day. Lay on the couch, eat potato chips and drink, you know, your diet Mountain Dew and your MSG-laden Pringles all day. That's the easy thing to do, but you pay for it down the road. Pick it. Do you want to pay for it now or you want to pay for it later? And that's that I think people are failing to realize with AI. Is they're trying to use this as this model now of an end-all, be-all endgame, when in reality, it's going to come out horrifically bad for everybody that uses this in long term.
Well, you know, people do the same thing. You know, we've done like almost 3,000 episodes now.
That hasn't been easy.
It's been almost 10 years.
That was not easy. You know, 3,000 episode, guys, and thank you for the support, because we couldn't do it without y'all.
But, you know, I mean, this takes a lot of work. I read about 30 articles a day. Well, you think, well, that's not that many articles a day. Well, that's almost 1,000 a month.
Yeah.
12,000 articles a year.
Remember, that's just in the basis of what we do for the show. I also have a company, and I also do stuff as far as with vehicle marketing. I also have 3 kids. So this is just a small factor of what I do every day. And same thing with Dad. I mean, last night, Hunter was over at your house again over there. See, the kids love going over there. And we're constantly doing stuff. And so we appreciate you guys forwarding these shows, because when you forward these shows, it elicits change. We've watched it. We've seen it. Look what's happening with the diets among a lot of people now. They're changing. Mm-hmm. People are starting to change significantly. You know, our good customer, good friend that works, he's a teacher, and he's lost like 100 pounds naturally. Mm-hmm. One of his friends that's a teacher came in the office the other day. I met a real nice lady. She was grabbing other supplements because he told her, he's like, hey, listen, you want to burn body fat? You want to get in better shape? Try this stuff. And she saw what he was doing. And so when people start realizing that stuff works and it doesn't have to be so difficult all the time, but you got to put commitment, you got to.
And that's what Charlie, that's what Charlie Crook was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they took him out. You know, it's funny. Last night, it's so funny. I got a phone call last night around 10 o'clock. Somebody goes, I'm laughing my head off.
Well,
I'm laughing your head off. I said, okay, well, you okay? Yeah. I've been watching y'all's show.
Oh, some of them are funny.
You just talked about going to some kind of birthday party and guys are wearing princess bracelets and you shook somebody's hand. They started squealing like a little girl. And I'm like, so this is hilarious. I started laughing. I said, that was a funny show. Now, sometimes shows aren't funny, but this did a lot, but we try to keep humor in it too. And see, all that stuff takes time to put together. It really does. And so, you know, after 2,600 or 2,700 episodes, you say, well, you guys make it look easy.
2,642.
Yeah, there you go. 2,642 episodes. Now, think about that for a second. Do you think that was something we just did last week?
Gosh.
It's just taking a minute now. It's taking a decade of our time. And I love doing it because I get to hang out with you guys every day, because you guys are like family to me after 2,642 episodes of me, Austin, running in your house like this. But it's part of what it is, though. Now, I want to read you this.
Hold on a second. Let me add. That's 110 days straight at 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's over 3.5 months straight, 24 hours a day, every single day.
For a decade.
For 3.5 months, though, as far as an aggregate, how much time that takes, 24 hours a day, no sleep, no rest. That's a lot of time. So thank you guys for support on that. Oh, and also, too, be sure, because I didn't get to push it much this week, the joint rebuilding formula, it's on sales product of the week for the next few hours. It's changing over to be complex because you guys voted it won. Missed some of that, giving you guys that intel this week as product of the week. So be sure, if you're watching the show right now, I'll leave the rebuilding formula up later on until this afternoon. If you want to get a hold of it, this is our top-tier joint rebuilding formula. Really helps out with injury, aging joints, getting soft tissue. Issue realigned and proper. And so be sure to check that out on sale for over 10% off. And then the B complex will be changing later.
Are we going to tell them about the purple sticks yet?
No, I'm still working on the back end with that. I don't want to disclose that yet. Please, why do you keep bringing that up? I'm working on it. We had a little issue with the purple sticks. Not the product itself. It's the packaging, the labeling. But they'll be here. Just be patient with me.
We're almost out.
I timed the inventory right. There was just an issue with the labels.
Well, one of the labels got hung up in the machine and tore a bunch of doggone, what do they call it? You got a picture, don't
I'll
you?
Show you. If you guys want me to show you, I'll show you. You keep pushing me on
well,
it.
Well, no, I don't want to. A lot of you guys love the purple sticks. I don't want to be out of stock and you say, well, you should have told us.
Yeah. I don't know where it was over here.
You got the picture?
I think I had it here somewhere.
One of the machines grabbed one of the labels and ripped it out. They had to disassemble the entire machine to try to clean the labeling stuff out of it. So it really
well. So what
down.
Happens is, so we got this film that goes over the boxes as far as the actual purple stick boxes. And yeah, here it is right here. Make sure I pull the email out of it. And so what happened was, this is the big film that goes into it. And so what happened was the film got wrapped up in this machine. So they're having to go in now. So they thought it wasn't an issue at first, and then another one said, so the machine's a problem is what it is. They did it to another label roll. And so this is the film that goes around the box. Now, everything's fixed now. We should be fixed, sticking it back up, but we don't have hardly any purple sticks left in the office.
Like, we got like 100 boxes.
I think we're going to have to cannibalize the last of our inventory on the shelf.
Well, we'll pull the ones out of here probably tomorrow. After this little comment I made right now, we'll have these.
Now, the good thing is, for this inventory, most of them are empty now. So I'm going to go through and shake them. This is our personal stash. We just kind of use them, swap them back.
But I'm going to take about 10 of these to the house.
I know
house
you are. But so this is fixed. This is resolved. Should be resolved. It's been an interesting week. So, again, but the product of the week, the joint rebuilding formula, that's on sale. The purple sticks, I will have those back in. So just bear with me right now on those. And if you call up and we're out in a couple days, I apologize. I will be getting them back in. Don't send me nasty emails. I don't need any more of
those. I warned you. I let you go. I tried to tell you last week.
I know you. I was trying to keep it hush.
Yeah. By the way, this is an interesting article. I love Chuck Baldwin. He's a good friend. And it says, God is not blessing America for supporting Israel. He's cursing America for supporting Israel.
Whoa. That was a bold statement.
There you go. Now, are you awake yet? Did that one wake you up? That one kind of woke me up a second ago. He goes, Lindsey Graham says God will curse the U.S. if it stops supporting Israel. A prominent U.S. Republican, Senator Lindsey Graham, who carries a purse, so everybody thinks he's gay.
It's a bold statement coming from a man that carries a purse.
Right. Has denied that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza and said that God will curse the U.S. if they pull their support for Tel Aviv.
I can't stand blasphemers. They annoy me.
Well, the guy, God, is he, this guy just walks around like such a little fairy.
He is.
I know. At the South Carolina Republican Party meeting on Wednesday, Graham said, if America pulls a plug on Israel, God will pull the plug on us. He went on to say, and the reason I'm covering this is not because I like him, because I don't. All right? I think he's a Pennsylvania.
I just want to get him voted. So I'm just like, so long, gay boy. He has to go away somewhere else.
But it's not that not because I want to promote him, because I don't. It's that I hear the same thing from the pulpit and churches that are Zionist churches. That's why I don't go to them. That's why I go to the Lutheran church. Okay? He went on to say, Israel is not the bad guy. They're the good guys. The bad guys are the radical Islamists who would kill everybody in this room if they could. Okay. The comments come amid Israel's ongoing starvation of Gaza and its discriminate war on territory. 22-month war has caused an unprecedented amount of human crisis. The war has been determined to be a genocide by leading rights groups and Amnesty International. Then Congressman Green says this. This is what he wrote. Funding and blindly supporting an ally who is starving children is not going to bring God's favor on America. Well, wait, we got to stop. We got to do that one again. You want to do that one again? You know, let's just think about it for a second. Okay, here's what she said. She hit out further by writing, I am also completely amazed at Israel and their aligned groups like AIPAC, who is breaking the law by not registering under the FARA, takes members of Congress and conservative social media influencers like TPUSA on all expenses paid trips to Israel. That's a fact.
That is 100% fact.
And welcomes a steady stream of conservative media outlets in order to keep the funding stream going. She further raised awareness of Israel's ongoing starvation of the Palestinians in Gaza, where over 239 people have died as a result of malnutrition and starvation. Funding and blindly supporting an ally who is starving children is not going to bring God's favor on America. As a matter of fact, it will bring God's wrath. I think she's right. Senator Lindsey Graham is regurgitating the Christian Zionist mantra that is an egregiously mangled interpretation of Genesis 12:3 that says God will bless America if America blesses the state of Israel. Doesn't say that, by the way. And he will curse America if we don't bless Israel, because all nations are blessed by blessing Zionist Israel. Idiotically equating God's promise to the righteous man Abraham 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago as a promise to the Antichrist Zionist state in 2025. Graham is one of the most repulsive. Oh, I like Chuck Baldwin. Listen to this. He does a better job. He's not even calling him a pencil neck with a purse. Listen to this. Ready? Graham is one of the most repulsive, disgusting, sickening, hypocritical, duplicitous, inhumane, self-serving charlatans to ever exist.
That's a fact.
Wow. Since when does Lindsey Graham have to give a, well, this is what Chuck says, give a tinker's damn about displeasing God? The man is a moral reprobate, a liar, the con man's con man. He gets by with his obsession with wars for Israel, or wars of any kind, or for that matter, because he lives in a state that undoubtedly has more Christian Zionist pastors and churches per capita than any other state in the Union. And with so many politicians in red states, they regurgitate what their conservative evangelical base wants to hear. It is truly incredible that Christians have fallen for the blessed Israel nonsense for so long, but the tide is turning, thank God. Suddenly, Christian Zionists and their toadies in Congress are on the defensive because the voice of truth and reason has gone from a faint whisper to a booming thunder, and the awakening is growing faster than Graham and the rest of the Israel lackeys can keep up. Any thinking person can easily discern that America of 2025 is not a nation that is reaping untold blessings for blindly supporting the atheist Zionist state of Israel for over 75 years. Just the opposite. America is reeling under the unrelenting judgment of Almighty God. And why should we be surprised? The Lord God settled the Israeli issue once and for all in 70 AD after fulfilling the promise to Abraham in the person of Jesus Christ that God would totally annihilate the remnant of what was left of the Hebrew nations of Israel and Judah in such a visible and violent way, showed the world that Israel was not a nation to be associated with, much less favored. Wow, Austin, wow. That's strong. You know, and I'm going to let you guys read this. You know, it says, tell me now if American families are better now than they were in 1948. We helped create this pariah state. Is the divorce rate higher or lower than in 1948? Are our children more well-behaved, polite, and respectful now than in 1948? Is the nuclear family stronger now than it was in 1948? Are there more child and less, is there more or less child abuse and spousal abuse today than in 1948? Is the overall family environment today better off than it was in 1948? Are more or less children taking behavior modification drugs than in 1948? And are there more or less dysfunctional families now than in 1948? You already know the answers to these questions. And he talks about the economy. He talks about culture, education, spirituality, and all of this stuff that's supposed to be blessing of now to us because we're supporting them. And then he talks about how the Scofield Reference Bible has done what it's done. I'm going to post this again. It's already been posted once. I'm going to post it again. But the reality is Chuck's right. And, you know, for some reason, he can't come and do the show in the morning live with us. He has other stuff scheduled in the morning. But you know, I'd love to have him back on
again. He's in Montana, isn't he?
He is in Montana. He's out there real close to Kalispell. He's a great guy.
He's back like 4 hours behind us then, too.
Three or four, yeah. And he's a great man and a good friend. He's a great supporter of, you know, Health Masters, great supporter
of. He's a patriot. You know, he actually wants America first. And that's the concept that eludes everybody now with this constant this ideology. You know, here's a question you got to ask yourself, right? Because everybody, the entire basis of support Israel always comes down to the Abrahamic bloodline and the pact. But I'm saying, so follow this for a second. That's what it always goes down. That's what they always try to do. How do you not know that some of the Christians in Palestine don't still have Abrahamic blood? They're all from that area.
Well, they probably do.
Christians, New Testament Christians in Palestine that are being butchered, bombed with missiles, starved. So suddenly it's okay. They're okay to be butchered because they're not part of the Israel state.
You know, the thing that bothers me is that the Bible says that they'll know that you're my disciples because you love one another.
There you go.
And that you support one another and you encourage one another and you feed one another.
Starving women and children.
It's not okay.
Especially when you're saying it. I mean, didn't you know for a fact that thousands of Christians have been executed in Gaza now and bombed?
Yeah.
I mean, carpet bombed.
But think about it, friends. I mean, if you're a Christian and you love God, which most of you are who listen to the show, you know, why in the world do you think it's okay for us to take an atheist state like Israel, number one homosexual destination in the world, support them with ridiculous amounts of money, and say it's okay for you guys to go bomb and kill little children and women in Gaza and ethnically cleanse the country because, you know, you deemed it so, and we're going to support you because we don't want to get cursed? Do you really think God's going to bless us for that?
No.
I mean, how twisted is that mindset?
If you're actually supporting in defending someone who follows the Talmud, they hate Christians. They hate you. They hate Jesus. They follow the Babylonian Talmud. They are absolutely proud of it. Ben Shapiro was on Joe Rogan, verbatim goes, "We do not believe in the deity of Christ." He was executed because he tried to bring a revolt against the Romans, as he should have. We don't even believe he was a prophet. He follows the Talmud, as of many other do in that area of the world. So you got to ask yourself a question. How long do you want to keep staying brainwashed to support someone that hates you, hates Christianity, and hates America? All we are is their piggy bank. You understand, I did this research the other day. In the last 20 years, this all went back in the last 20 years, there has never been a vote, no, as far as it has not gone through, on a bill to support Israel financially. Every single bill, every single platform where they have submitted it, as far as where the whole bill went through, they have passed every single bill to support Israel as far as financially. They never get declined, ever.
I remember that one black Congress lady. She's no longer a Congress lady. I forgot her name. Cynthia McKinney, I think. She said that when she went into Congress, they gave her a sheet of paper to sign supporting Israel.
Yeah. And what they do is, and this is how it works. I was watching something on the other day with one of these retired senators, and he goes, they come in. They've lobbied all these groups. They've given all these guys money. They've got blackmail on them. Whatever you want to name it, name it. They come in and say, by the way, this next bill you're putting through, we need another $10 billion in international support and financial aid for Israel, foreign support. And they go, done. We literally are their piggy bank. As soon as they want more money from us, they just deem it so. They say, pass it.
James Traffic.
And it gets passed every time.
James Traffic said they control both houses of Congress.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Why do you think the BBB bill got passed? Mm. There was nothing in there that was legitimate that we needed at all. Zero. It was a bunch of money to Israel, a bunch of money for surveillance state, a bunch of money for everything we didn't want. And so, again, switching back, I'm going to cover this topic. This is a really big article on drinking water and tap water. We've covered this a lot. It says the hidden risk in 90% of America's drinking water and tap water and how to reduce it. And we've carried the water distillers at the office for years that work good. You can also use the filtration systems like the reverse osmosis. Those are kind of expensive. You also can get, if you can get bottled water in glass, I don't remember in plastic, but always remember when you're drinking tap water, it says 90% of America's tap water they need from drinking water systems harbor disinfectant byproducts, most of them unregulated and understudied. This doesn't even go into the other stuff like with the birth control that's in the water supply now and all these other chemicals that can be in there. These are just disinfectant byproducts.
Well, they warn us not to put old prescription drugs in the water supply because it contaminates the water, but they tell them to put them in us.
Right.
You can't put it in the toilet, but you can take it. All right?
You have to remember, most of the drinking water supply now, the drinking supply in a lot of states, it's reconstituted sewage waste. That's why they say don't put the drugs in the water.
That's right.
They're taking the sewage waste and they run it through multiple different filtration systems, multiple type of byproduct disinfectants, and they run the water out and go, okay, Goyim, here's some clean water for you. You basically
did you say Goyim?
Yeah. That's Who do you think got fluoride in the water supply? That's what they say. It's what they call us. They think we're cattle. They think we're animals. I'm over it. I'm done. But this is
I'm like, you know what you say in private will come out in public, big guy.
It's a fact. It's what they think. It's what they think of us. They don't think of us as Christians. They think of us as animals.
They don't even think of us as humans.
Why do you think they starve out Gaza and have no remorse about it? But the water supply system has been massively compromised. However, in the state of Florida, we got fluoride pulled out of the water supply now.
Doreen Dotan. You got to watch some of her stuff.
I haven't watched her stuff.
She actually tells the truth.
Does she?
Yeah. She's a hardcore Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan lackey.
Lackey.
Yeah, she basically has a whole thing on their blood sacrifices and everything else and what they believe. And she says that they create us by creating points of light and they make human beings. She believes that. That's what the Talmud teaches them.
That's what Talmud is. Mm-hmm. So back to reducing exposure to disinfectant byproducts. Stay away from tap water. Use a water supply filtration system like we have, like the distillers, or use a reverse osmosis. Back in the day, we used to do it on trips.
Or you could go to the grocery store, yep, and they'll have a reverse osmosis machine.
They have a machine there. It's like 30 cents a gallon. We used to use it when we were on trips all the time. Mm-hmm. I think. I haven't found one in a while.
They've got one at Publix down here.
Do they still have one?
Yeah, but you got to put like quarters on it or something. But it's a real pain.
What's your health worth?
Oh, by the way.
Use a filter or be a filter.
On Friday's show, I went in and did a great little presentation. I thought it was great. Maybe you didn't think it was. On Butch Dyke lesbians being the ultimate expression of feminism. And, I'm not going to do it again. Kind of want to, but I'm not.
It's Wednesday, man. We're not on Friday.
Got to wait till Friday.
Got to wait till Friday.
No. Here's the thing. Now, this is it. This is the ultimate expression of feminism. All right. You ready? Listen to this. You're going to love this one. If you know you got certain chemicals and certain drugs that can affect the developing fetus.
Yep.
Right? And you've been warned by the government it can do it. And you're a Butch Dyke lesbian that's not going to be told what to do, but you're pregnant. Right? So you basically either have had some kind of insemination done from a sperm bank. Because you're probably so doggone ugly that you're going to make somebody puke if they look at you, so that nobody's going to have sex with you. I'm sorry I said that, but it's the truth. That's awful. Should apologize, but I'm not. And so you've got yourself pregnant somehow. We don't know how. Okay,
we're just going to go with it.
And you're so ugly you'll stop a clock. You decide. Here we go. Ready? Pregnant liberal women post videos downing Tylenol to own Trump. This is an attack on women. I kid you not. So when you
I'm a loss for words on that.
So when you get yourself pregnant by some unknown means and you decided you want to be the ugliest liberal lesbian woman on the planet, you're going to sit there and suck Tylenol. Now notice they don't show her face. You know why they don't show her face in this picture? Because it would break the doggone iPad. Some pregnant liberal women are posting videos of themselves downing acetaminophen, commonly known as Tylenol, following the Make America Healthy Again announcement on Monday, in which President Donald Trump, who everybody hates as a liberal lesbian, recommended pregnant women limit intake of the drug due to possible associations with increased risk of autism. Trump made the
I don't even know what to say.
No. It's just, okay, here.
I'm going to give myself liver failure, my child autism, to prove a point that I'm not going to listen to anything about health.
No, this is the same idiot mindset that goes, there's no such thing as fetal alcohol syndrome. Wash me down and got a fifth of vodka while I'm pregnant every day. Yeah.
Okay.
You realize how unbelievably selfish you are. Not only are you selfish, you're unbelievably stupid. You got a child developing inside of you, and you want to say, well, I don't believe it causes autism. I'm going to take this pill. And I'm going to prove a point now. What in the H-E double sticks is wrong with you? Why would you do that to your developing fetus? Oh, that's right. You're probably going to give that child up for adoption anyhow, aren't you? You don't really care about that child. Because somehow you got pregnant, and now you don't want the baby anymore. So let's say we're going to abort the fetus using Tylenol or cause it to have some type of learning disorder or autism. When I saw this morning, Austin, I thought to myself, this is absolutely mind-boggling that a woman who basically feels as though that, oh, God, there's a picture of one of them. Oh, my gosh. Hideous.
I don't want to see it.
I'm not going to put it on the air. I don't want to break my cameras. The problem with all of this stuff is this. When you see this stuff, you can't believe it actually happens, but it does. And you also, you
Tylenol, downing Tylenol. I'm still registered. I'm still digesting that right now. You're trying to
number one cause of liver failure in the country,
and directly linked to increased risk of autism and neurological disorders. Now with the reports and studies that they came out with, directly linked, not questionable, directly linked.
Oh, by the way, we've got to have them. The media's got to slam Germany one more time. This new chancellor,
Why are they always picking on Deutschland?
Because they don't want Deutschland über alles. I won't translate that. Germany faces ruin after living beyond its means for years, its chancellor admits. Whoa, whoa.
Wow, really?
Whoa. Okay, let me tell you why Germany's facing ruin and the economy's crapped out.
Yeah.
Because they made them sign on to a bunch of debt from other countries all over the EU. They made Germany sign on for trillions of dollars.
They opened the door to Germany's walls, as far as not their walls, their borders, to bring in millions and millions and millions of Middle Easterners and pay for their housing, their food, their transportation, and every other means to live for the last decade.
Okay, here's the problem. Here's what they've done to Germany. Okay, I'm probably one of the last actual Germans running around that hasn't had damaged DNA. What happened is this. The German people were basically victimized because of World War II.
They were.
You know, Eisenhower's death camps killed millions locked up behind barbed wire after the war was over with. And they called them enemy combatants rather than soldiers so they could keep them locked up. And the crazy part about all of this stuff is they have basically eviscerated German self-esteem for the last 85 years. It never ends.
Because everybody – and this is the problem. Everybody associates when you say you're from Germany – everybody's Nazi.
Yeah.
Nazi.
No.
Killed my whole life.
No, so the other day I was.
That's not true.
The other day I was on a date, which I've done upon occasion, and the woman says to me, she goes, I didn't know where she was from, and so she said, finally she told me, she says, I'm from Iran.
Okay,
that's okay. And then she looked at me and she goes, where are you from? I said, my parents are German. And I said, the closest I've ever been to Iran is I was in Turkey, and I was in Israel. And she goes, why did you go to Israel? You're German.
Golly. That's the basis of the question she had to ask. Like,
and that was the best question she asked all night. It actually made me laugh. And I said, well, I'm not a Nazi. And I said, the cruise ship stopped there. And so it was an interesting conversation. But the German people have been so eviscerated because of what happened in the Second World War now for almost 100 years that they really don't know what to do with themselves. And a lot of them don't even want to admit they're German.
That's a fact.
And so they stopped reproducing. Okay, that was the point of all that. They stopped reproducing. They're not having enough children to replace in the factories the workers they need. So that's one of the main reasons Angela Merkel used as an excuse to dilute the DNA even further by bringing in millions and millions and millions of people out of Libya and Egypt and Africa to dilute the DNA and to bring them as farm workers. The problem is a lot of Somalia, where they have an average IQ of 65. So you can't take that 65 person IQ and bring them into a factory and have them operate complex machinery. They don't know how to do it. They had a hard time figuring out how to flush a toilet. And okay, let me stop for 1 second. Don't start on me about this. Let me do it this way. If you take a kid that has 150 IQ and you put him in a household and he gets adopted and you put him in a household and both parents basically have a 90 IQ, and when that kid's 18 years old, he'll still have 150 IQ, period. It doesn't change. If you take a kid that basically has got a 90 IQ and you put him in a household with two parents that have 150 IQs, at the age of 18, he'll still have a 90 IQ. It doesn't change. So, the only way you can really affect IQ scores, generationally, is to dilute the IQ by having them breed with people who have lower IQs.
And environmental factors, toxins that cause cognitive
and
behavior
and
problems.
Fluoride.
Yep.
And so when you get into a situation where you finally start to realize that, this is a problem. Now, Chancellor Friedrich Merz has admitted that Germany has been living beyond its means for years, and now the country could be facing ruin without economic reforms. The conservative German leader has caused uproar in declaring that the country can no longer afford the cost of its pension system, which has soared to more than 31% of GDP, one of the highest in Europe. The only reason this is a problem is because they were signed on to the debt from all these other countries. That's a fact. Now, the pension system in Germany is extremely good, and they give everybody, most people there get at least a month vacation every single year. It's crazy.
That'd be nice.
I've got friends in Germany. We're on vacation again. I'm like, my gosh, you guys are always on vacation. And Merz also warned of a profound, impeccable break and a need for painful austerity measures to guarantee that the young Germans would have any future life. Economic advisor Marcel Pratschner also heads the German Institute for Economic Research. So the government must tackle a $400 billion a year pension bill. This is like Social Security for them. That's already expected to rise in the next 10 years. And now the Germans simply are replacing themselves with little Germans. They're bringing in all these other countries who don't know how to work, don't want to work, and want to live on the pension system. And they were signed on all the debt from Greece from years ago and a lot of the other European states. So Germany is in trouble. And that's a fact. That is true. But not because of what the Germans did, but because of what the Sabbatean and Luciferian synagogue of Satan Kabbalists have done to Germany in basically punishment of what happened in World War II, period. That's just
right.
The bottom line.
I want to switch gears on this before we end the show in here. This is pretty interesting. I've watched snippets of this film so far. It's called Inside mRNA Vaccines. This film explains how the COVID vaccines turn the body into a factory with no clear controls.
That's it.
It says it drives the cells to produce lethal spike proteins that spread through the body with no way to control them. And, you know, we've talked about it in detail, but if you're ever curious about this and wanted to understand it in detail, this film kind of breaks it down a little bit more, and it talks about how the actual virus, this vaccine was never an actual vaccine. It's exactly what we said for the last 5 years. It was designed to make your body start producing spike proteins, to start producing a virus. You became a virus manufacturing site. Last night, I watched that film, The Bourne Ultimatum, doing Jeremy Renner.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That's one of the series. I highly recommend that film. It's pretty. It doesn't have, Hunter's watched it. It doesn't have a bunch of really bad stuff in it all.
Well, that one scene where they're killing everybody in that lab, that needs to be fast forwarded.
Yeah, it's pretty where he's executing everybody. But the thing about it is there's a segment in the film when they're driving off, they get out of the situation. I'm not getting the whole plot if you haven't seen it. And she's a scientist, and she starts talking about how they figure out how to do gene therapy and modification of the body. And they were using these drugs they were giving them, these green pills and blue pills.
Mitochondrial uptake.
And he goes, she goes, why are you still taking these? He goes, well, I just thought I would take them. She goes, we viraled you out of that. We put a virus in your body to make that permanent. The physical abilities that we increased, it was a 1.5% mitochondrial uptake. All your abilities became significantly better. You don't have to take that pill anymore. It's embedded in your genetic code now. And she goes into detail. And at first, when I first saw the film in 2012, when it came out, I was kind of like, oh, this is science fiction. Now, after I've seen what they did with RNA gene therapy and COVID spike proteins and everything they did with this shot and what they've still been doing with DARPA and CRISPR-9 gene editing, I've realized it's very real, and that's what they did in the shot, except it didn't give everybody stronger mitochondrial uptake. It made everybody completely sick. And so, again, this is one of the reasons why the spike protein survival kit that we put together years ago helps get the body detoxified as best as possible, reduces blood clots with the natokinesin there, and also helps out with energy production. And so this is something that you got to look at. But, again, another reason why I've encouraged people to do your research, because it's crazy now. We're just now starting to understand the full extent of how bad RNA gene therapy is in a vaccine setting with this shot. We've talked about it for years, but now it's been out for 5 years now. We're finally starting to see films come about them, I guess you could say.
Yesterday I had lunch and I spoke to a lady who basically is a big pro-vaccine lady.
Okay.
Okay. And I didn't get in an argument with her, but I got into a discussion with her, and she was saying how vaccines were so important because she had taken, of course, the COVID shot.
Right.
And I told her, I said, I don't think you understand. It wasn't a shot to help reduce the risk of COVID.
It wasn't a vaccine.
It was basically a eugenics protocol to attack the ovaries and the testicles.
An experiment. It was a big experiment. That's what it was. It was a giant experiment.
And then she was saying how vaccines, and I said, look, I said, you've been taught that the concept of vaccines, you take a dead antigen, and you put it in your body, well, not a dead virus, and the body produces antibodies against it. And so what you realize is that, that's a clean concept. They don't do it that way.
No.
They put all kinds of adjuvants. So I ended up sitting there talking to her for about 2 hours. And finally, I made her realize that, yes, you could use vaccines if you have a clean vaccine, but there aren't any clean vaccines.
No, they don't exist anymore.
They don't. I don't know of one.
You used to be able to order the tetanus shot in a single ampule injection. I found out you can't even get that shot anymore anywhere. You used to be able to order them to the physician. I got one when I was younger when I was going on a camp trip because I needed to get a tetanus shot. You can't even get a tetanus shot. You have to get a DTaP shot now. They're all intermingled together.
And the thing about it is that the vaccines are a much bigger indicator, I believe, of autism than Tylenol is. And now they're coming out with a folate product that they're going to make available through the Food and Drug Administration because they say a lot of kids that have autism, they can't process folate, which causes brain damage over a period of time. And so now they're saying that they're going to be offering this new product that's going to allow them. It says it's called folinic acid to be – FDA announces plan for folinic acid to be accessible prescription treatment for children with autism. Food and Drug – of course, they have to make it a prescription. Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Dr. Martin Markery announced that FDA is filing a federal register notice to change the label on leucovorin, which so it can be prescribed to treat children with autism. Dr. Markey made the announcement on Monday at the White House when President Trump, flanked by his leadership, a team of Health and Human Services, linked autism to the painkiller Tylenol. This folinic acid is an active metabolite of folic acid or vitamin B9. And it says, autism may also be due to an autoimmune reaction to folate receptor on the brain, not allowing that important vitamin to get into brain cells. It is fairly established, mature pathway. Again, we have to let the doctors, the public know we're going to change the label to make it available. It said that hundreds of thousands of kids, in my opinion, will benefit. He said one study found that kids with autism and chronic folate deficiency, that 2/3 of the kids with autism symptoms improved and some with marked improvement with just folate.
You've got to have methylated folate, folic acid, as far as if you're trying to use this concept to help out with the issues that Dad just talked about. The 5-MTHF has been one of the most effective factors we've seen, especially we use it with women that are pregnant. It's 5-methyltetrahydrofolic acid. It's already broken down to its methylated form. The body does not need the enzyme to process it like they do with folic acid. This product is absolutely influential as far as what Dad's talking about right here. We've been way ahead of the curve for the last decade on it. It's funny to me now the FDA is finally starting to acknowledge that MTHF is actually important.
Well, it's not really MTHF. This is actually a prescription.
No, what they've done is they've taken the concept of MTHF and they're turning it into a prescription drug. That's all
they make money.
Yeah, exactly what it is. They always do this.
I know.
They always do it. They find something that works. Remember when they were trying to schedule NAC and acetylcysteine?
Oh, yeah.
Or to make it scheduled for like an antibiotic so we could sell it. I'm like, dude, it's a derivative of sulfur. It's been around for 40 years. It's NAC, acetylcysteine.
Well, the boys are like the free air. They can't handle it. They got to have something.
They knew how effective it was.
Oh, we're out of time. Guys, I love you. Thanks for your support. The show was kind of wild today. Well, it's kind of wild every day. But thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for keeping your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. And remember that we can do all things through Jesus who gives us strength. I appreciate you guys so much. And God bless you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely, my friend. Y'all have a good one. Stay strong, stay healthy. Need anything, Team Health Masters, check out the folate. Read the article on if you want. We'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.